I'm Melanie Phillips, and this is Teach Me to Walk in the Light, Episode 17, A Slave to Sin. This podcast is for people who want to learn how to effectively teach, persuade, and lead those within their reach to walk in the light of Christ. I am your host, Melanie Phillips. Hey, welcome to another episode of the Teach Me to Walk in the Light podcast, helping you teach more effectively at home and in your calling. In each episode, I teach a new gospel principle and share with you how you can apply it to your life and how to teach it to your family and family home evening. The gospel principles I cover coincide with the principle taught in the Come Follow Me reading assignment for the upcoming week. I also share a new teaching tip and end with a hashtag take time for family activity suggestion or a dinner conversation starter. Today's topic is a slave to sin for Come Follow Me for April 29th through May 5th. Now, FYI, this is the last episode for season one. I will be taking a break, but I will continue to post weekly on my blog, Melanie's Library. I will post resources that you can use each week to help in teaching your family Come Follow Me. And if you are a member of the Teach Me Family Home Evening email group, you will continue to receive a weekly Family Home Evening outline. If you haven't yet, head over to Melanie's Library and sign up for the Teach Me Family Home Evening email group. You can sign up in today's show notes found at melanieslibrary.com/teachme17. All right, I have a question for you today. What isn't legal anywhere but happens almost everywhere, including Europe and the U.S.? And it isn't drugs. Any guesses? The answer is slavery. Slavery is everywhere. According to freetheslaves.net, there are tens of millions of people trapped in various forms of slavery. Slaves that are forced to work without pay under the threat of violence. You know, researchers estimate that 40 million are enslaved worldwide, generating $150 billion each year in illicit profits for traffickers. And they point out there's four different types of slavery. One is labor slavery. About 50% are forced to do some sort of manual labor. Two, sex slavery. About 12.5% are trapped in forced prostitution, sex slavery. Three, forced marriage slavery. About 37.5% are trapped in forced marriages. And four, child slavery. About 25% of today's slaves are children. Now, some of you may have heard of Timothy Ballard. He's a member of the church who is also the founder and CEO of Operation Underground Railroad and CEO of the Nazarene Fund and the author of several books. He organizes activities on the national and international level to stop child trafficking. Well, I've heard him speak at Time Out for Women, and he's an excellent speaker. And it's amazing what he has done and continues to do for children caught up in the horrible reality of sex trafficking. Just listening to him, it really opens your eyes and it makes you, sick to think about what is really going on in the world. Now, Elder H. Ross Workman of the 70 once said, quote, "We are astonished that men, women, and children could be a commodity bought, sold, and subjected to prolonged misery to further the interests of others. We recoil at descriptions of man's inhumanity to man in these accounts, and we are horrified at reports of slavery existing in some parts of the world even today. How is it then that many willingly relinquish their freedom and submit themselves and their loved ones to captivity by that master whose only purpose is to make them miserable like unto himself?" Unquote. I love the point he makes there. I mean, we recoil or we're sick to our stomachs when we think of the slavery and inhumane treatment that is given to others subjected to slavery all over the world. Yet many willingly give up their freedom and submit themselves and those they love to Satan, the master of sin, the one whose number one objective is to make us miserable just like him. And how does he do it? By making us a slave to sin. You know, being a slave to sin doesn't always just happen overnight. I often think of the scripture stories of David, and I ask myself, what do you think David would have said if after he slew Goliath, you told him that years from now, he'd commit a serious sin with Bathsheba? Do you think he would believe you? Sin comes a little at a time. It's just like that old fable I'm sure we have all heard of about the boiling frog. Put a frog suddenly into boiling water and it will jump out. But if the frog is put in room temperature water, which is then brought to a boil slowly, it will not realize the danger and it will die. If you are living a good life right now, there is no way you can even imagine yourself committing a serious sin. And Satan knows that. That's why he slowly lures us in little by little. In the Old Testament Student Institute manual regarding David's sin, it says, quote, "Things were getting too easy for David. He had leisure to stay at home while Joab and his men were out fighting Ammonites and Syrians. In his leisure, he looked from his rooftop at his neighbor's wife. Leisure and lust led to adultery and then to murder, which since had eternal repercussions as well as tragic earthly results. It is one of the shocking and serious warnings of the Old Testament that a man may be ever so good and great and eminent and still have weaknesses which can lead to deeds that entirely overshadow and defeat the better self," unquote. Overcoming temptation is an ongoing battle. We cannot get lackadaisical when it comes to living the gospel and keeping all of God's commandments. In a talk by President Hinckley entitled "Overpowering the Goliaths in Our Lives," he said, quote, "I have a friend who built a beautiful home and furnished it with the very best of carpets, furniture, appliances, and all that money can buy. Within its walls, he kept his fine automobiles and expensive jewelry. Then, fearful of intruders who might enter and rob him, he had installed expensive deadbolt locks so that he had to use a key to get out as well as to get in. He put bars on the windows and doors and was like a prisoner looking out of his own home, as one might do out of a jail. He installed costly electronic surveillance devices to turn on lights and set off sirens should any unwelcome individual enter. He landscaped largely without trees or shrubbery, so there would be no place for a thief to hide. And he smugly said to himself, 'Now I am secure.' But what he did not realize is that neither bars nor deadbolts, neither lights nor sirens, nor anything of the kind would have the slightest effect on intruders of another variety who could destroy the lives of his children, despoil the marriage which had been the source of his happiness over many years, bind him with cords of meanness and bitterness and hate toward those he had once loved, and lock him in a dungeon cell of despair and misery. I spend much time listening to the tales of unhappy people. As a percentage of the entire membership of the church, they constitute a relatively small number. But there are too many, and every case is a tragedy. Guard your homes. How foolish it seems to install bars and bolts and electronic devices against thieves and molesters while more insidious intruders come in as invited guests," unquote. Securing our homes from thieves is important, yes, but not near as important as safeguarding our homes from Satan himself. The way to do that is by filling our homes with the Spirit of the Lord through teaching our children the gospel. We must teach our children how to safeguard themselves spiritually so that they won't become a slave to the father of all lies. And we do that not only through words, but by example as well. And we must realize that Satan starts with the tiniest things. I'm sure you've heard the saying, how our thoughts lead to actions. It is true. You know, we may think a thought is just a little thing of no importance, but in reality, it is. That's where Satan starts, by planting that self-doubt or that question or the thought in your mind that eventually leads you to committing a sin you hadn't even thought of before. President David O. McKay has taught, quote, "Trees that can stand in the midst of the hurricane often yield to the destroying pests that we can scarcely see with a microscope. Likewise, the greatest foes of humanity today are the subtle and sometimes unseen influences at work in society that are undermining the manhood and womanhood of today," unquote. That's how Satan works, in subtle ways. So subtle, you sometimes don't even notice it until it begins to be too late. Elder Workman said, quote, "Spiritual captivity rarely results from a single choice or event. More often, freedom is surrendered one small step at a time until the way to regain that freedom is obscured," unquote. How important it is to take, you know, a daily evaluation of our thoughts and our actions. And what better time to do that than in our nightly prayers? This is where, you know, it's important that we invite the Holy Ghost to be part of our prayers, that we may know through personal revelation what we need to repent of and where we're falling short, so we can try to do better tomorrow. As you know, there are all different kinds of sins, and we each have ones that are more tempting to us than others. And there's those obvious sins such as pornography, drugs, and alcohol. But you can also be enslaved to your phone and TV, video games, fame, and wealth. Elder Workman said, quote, "One can also be in captivity through obsessive preoccupation with activities such as sports, music, or entertainment," unquote. I like how he says obsessive preoccupation. I mean, that makes me think and wonder, okay, what is there that I'm obsessed and preoccupied with that is taking me away from Christ? I mean, we are obsessed and preoccupied with something, that right there is a clear indication that we are being a slave to it. You may ask yourself, is there something I would have a hard time going a single day without? Something that would drive me crazy if I couldn't have it? Something that would make me fill this large void in my life without it? Elder Workman tells a story I found very interesting. He said, quote, "After recently purchasing a farm for their retirement, a faithful couple felt prompted to accept a mission call. They were called to serve in a village far from other church units. They built their own housing, dug their own water well, attended to all their personal needs, and proselyted by bicycle. While the living conditions were extremely difficult, they enjoyed wonderful success in teaching, training members, and bringing converts to the gospel. In the course of their mission, this couple received a letter from a family member reporting that thieves had broken into their farm and stolen all of their farm implements and machinery. They were urged to return home and seek to reclaim their much-needed property. The mission president gave them the option to do so. This couple considered their choice and decided to stay. They were not held captive by their worldly goods. They were free to choose the Lord's service, and they so chose," unquote. What a great example of a couple who was not a slave to worldly possessions or a slave to anything, allowing them freedom to serve the Lord. My guess is they were blessed 100-fold for their sacrifice and dedication to the Lord. I believe President McKay said it best when he said, quote, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Court him and you will soon have shackles, not on your wrists, but on your soul," unquote. There is reason why the Lord has counseled us to hold on to the iron rod, because if we don't, we will be blinded by the mists of darkness, and we will find ourselves on a road that is hard to come back from. The road may seem harmless at first. It may even seem to be the place to find happiness. But know that that is only a temporary counterfeit happiness. It won't last. Satan's whole goal is to deceive you and make you as miserable as he is. Just as there are millions of people in slavery today around the world, there are millions of people in spiritual slavery as well. The slavery we see and hear of around the world is only temporary. Spiritual slavery is eternal. I hope we will all strive on a daily basis to hold to that iron rod. Make prayer and repentance a part of our daily lives, that we will not find ourselves a slave to Satan. You do not want him for a master. I can promise you that. But what if you fall short and you find yourself a slave to sin? Can Christ save you? Yes. In John 8:34-36, Jesus taught, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." If you find yourself chained to sin, now is the time to come back. Breaking those chains is possible and so worth it. Don't let Satan make you believe otherwise. All right, on to family home evening suggestion. For opening song, you can do the hymn Choose the Right or the primary song Dare to Do Right. And then for the lesson, I'll have a link to a video that has Timothy Ballard in it talking about slavery. He talks about the victims and how much happier they are to escape and they have hope. And then after the video, compare that to being a slave to sin. And you may even list different kinds of sins and how we can be enslaved by them. And talk about what Elder Workman said, you know, one can also be in captivity through obsessive preoccupation. Anything you can't live without, such as phones, TV, video games, and so forth. Then discuss how if you do find yourself a slave to sin, you must have faith. And as Timothy Ballard says in the video, faith takes action. When you are enslaved by your sins, we must use faith to get out of it. We must take action. Then talk about what action we can take when we have been enslaved by sin. And share the scripture found in John and bear testimony that it is Christ who can make us free. And we will be so much happier if we break free. And then for a fun activity, one of my kids' favorites, go outside and play Capture the Flag. That's a game that takes prisoners, just as Satan can take us prisoner. And if you've never played, I will have the instructions in the Teach Me Family Home Evening email. And then for the closing song, you can do the hymn The Iron Rod or the primary song Stand for the Right. All right, and on to the teaching tip. It is so important to teach our kids about worry and anxiety. It is becoming more and more common among kids today. They deal with a lot more than we ever did as kids. And to help kids understand what worry is, use this analogy. How worry is like carrying a big stack of books. The stack is so tall that it blocks our eyes. We can't see anything but the big stack of books. If we try to look around the stack, we might get a little glimpse of something else. But the stack might start to wobble, so we have to give all of our focus to the books. And our muscles might start to get tense because the stack is heavy, and our backs might start to hurt after carrying the books for a while. And we might start to feel frustrated or overwhelmed after giving all our attention to the books for so long because we can't enjoy anything else. And how worry can feel the same way. It's hard to focus on anything but our worries. And worries might block our view of what's actually happening and take a toll on our whole bodies. And discuss with your kids how if we let worry overtake our thoughts, that it can affect us in all aspects of our lives, including spiritually as well. One of the first steps to taking control of our worries is to understand what we can and cannot control, and then focus solely on the things you can control. And to help them understand this, you can give them a rock in one hand and Play-Doh in the other. And talk about how the rock represents things we cannot control. The Play-Doh represents things we can control. What happens when we squeeze the rock? Nothing. We can't change the rock. What happens when we squeeze the Play-Doh? We can shape it and mold it and change it. And the same is true for worries. When we worry about things outside of our control, we do not change them. When we instead focus on things we can control, we can make positive changes to help ourselves feel better. Let your kids know that worry and anxiety is a real thing. And if they have a hard time controlling it, they should tell someone and encourage them to talk to someone, especially to their Heavenly Father. Have faith that Heavenly Father knows what they're going through and that He will send them the help that they need. All right, last but not least, hashtag take time for family. The two most important ways to build family relationships is through 1, spending time together, and 2, conversation. To continue with our deep discussions today, we've talked about slavery and worry and anxiety. For this, I want to mention a book I got. It's called 350 Questions Parents Should Ask During Family Night. And it's all about just teaching your kids safety. For example, 1 chapter is on home and internet safety. And some of the questions include, if you are home alone and a stranger knocks at your door, do you open it? If they say they have a package for your parents you need to sign for, do you open it? If they say they got a 911 call and need to check out the home, do you open it? Or how about you come from school and your parents aren't home, but you see a broken window, a ripped screen, or an open door? What do you do? Do you go in and investigate? Is it okay to put personal information online? Or you get an email from a company wanting you to verify personal information. What do you do? You meet a guy or girl on the internet who wants to meet in person. What do you do? You know, my family, we recently had a family home evening on safety, and I went through a bunch of these questions. And to make it more fun, I'll admit, I got a big bag of Skittles, and every time someone would answer a question or be a part of the discussion, I'd give them a piece of candy. Candy can be a great motivator, as I'm sure you know. Now, as I'm throwing out different questions on different safety issues, you could tell which ones needed more discussion by some of my kids' answers or stories and examples that they would tell. And a lot of times, you know, you never know what your kids might say or what they've been exposed to. And this is a great way to learn more about what your kids do and do not know about safety. Don't sidestep these talks with your kids and just assume they know how to stay safe. These talks with your kids are so important. And if you want to check out this book, I'll have a link to it in the show notes. Well, that is all for today. Thanks for listening. And if you've enjoyed this podcast and found it helpful, please tell your friends. Also, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And I'd love it if you'd leave me a review on iTunes. Have yourself a fantastic week. Talk to you soon. Want more teaching helps and gospel-related resources? Be sure and go to Melanie's Library at www.melanieslibrary.com. This is also where you can find the show notes for all the Teach Me to Walk in the Light podcast episodes. And while you're there, make sure you sign up for my monthly Finding Joy newsletter that is always packed full of great resources and delivered right to your inbox. Everything you need to be the most effective teacher you can be at home and in your calling. Once again, thanks for listening.